My desire is to talk to you this morning about being thankful. I am grateful that we have this time of the year set aside and that it is recognized by many folks to remember the things that we should be thankful for. We should be thankful for them not only on Thanksgiving Day. We should not only remember to give thanks on Thanksgiving Day, but we should be thankful always. We are taught to have a thankful heart and to exercise, even in our prayer life, being thankful. Did you know that it's hard to complain and be thankful at the same time? It's hard to be bitter and be thankful at the same time. Thankfulness takes care of a whole lot. If God blesses you with a thankful heart, it covers an awful lot. It puts you in the right frame of mind. It puts you in the right perspective. It puts you in the right mental status to worship the Lord. We all have a lot to be thankful for. Satan would have us to think on our problems. He would have us to think on our difficulties. He would have us to think on our trials. He would have us to think on all the hardships, all the setbacks, all of the disappointments. But if we are mindful to be thankful for what God has blessed us with, what He's done for us, even the most afflicted individual has much to be thankful for if they're a child of God. If Jesus Christ has represented you upon the cross of Calvary, then Satan can throw a whole host of fiery darts against you here in this life, but you still have an awful lot to be thankful for. Problem is, oftentimes, our heart's not right. We don't have a thankful heart. We oftentimes look for what we think we should have or the life that we think we should have had and the things that we think should have happened to us. And then we begin to get bitter or we begin to get angry or we begin to have hard feelings. And sometimes folks even get bitter against the Lord when in essence we should have a thankful heart. Here's an example, Luke chapter 17. Here's an example. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem. This is Jesus Christ. If you go back and read it in your Bible, all of the writing before this is in red, and Jesus Christ will be speaking here, and Jesus Christ will be working the miracle here. And as it came to pass, he went to Jerusalem, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now, leprosy was a horrible illness. Leprosy was something that you couldn't cure yourself of. You couldn't heal yourself of. Nobody wanted to be around you because it was contagious. It would disfigure your appearance, and nobody wanted to be around you because they knew that they could pick it up themselves. And so there was distance that was placed between the lepers and those that were in the village. And it says that they stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices. Now, keep in mind, there were 10 of them. That's an important part of this story, this little example right here. That there were 10 men that had leprosy. So keep in mind, that's real important to realize, that there were 10 men that had leprosy, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, they went to the right one for help. Anytime that we have a need, anytime that we have a problem, the right one to go to is Jesus Christ. He is the great physician. He knows our need even before we ask, and He knows what's best for us, even in healing or in delivering us. And He knows what help that we stand in need of. Oftentimes we may only be able to cry to Him, "Lord, help us." And He knows what that help actually needs to be. We think we know sometimes, but He always knows. They lifted up their voices and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it shall come to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus Christ says, "Go to the priest." And on their journey to the priest, it says, as they went, they were cleansed. Jesus Christ cleansed the lepers of their leprosy. And if you remember, there were 10 of them that were on this journey. And They were all healed by the same healing power. They were all healed by the same individual. And it says in verse 15, and one of them. Now, there were 10, so what happened to the other 9? It says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back with a loud voice, and he glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now, what happened to the other 9? The other 9 were healed, just like this one that was healed. You've got 10 that were healed as they were on their way, on their journey to the priest. And out of that 10 that was healed, one of them had a thankful heart. One of them realized that he had been delivered. One of them realized that he had been healed. And that one individual that had been healed, he turned back. It says he turned back. He fell down on his face at his feet, and he gave thanks. And Jesus said, were there not 10 that were cleansed, but where are the 9? You ever fall in the category of the 9? How often does the Lord intervene in our life? How often does the Lord deliver us? How often does the Lord provide for us? How often does the Lord take care of us, and we're like the 9 that go on our way? How often are we like the one that when he was healed, he turned back and gave thanks to the Lord? This should also show us that probably about 10% of the people really exercise a thankful heart. The one being representative of the whole being 10%. About 10% of the people really exercise and manifest a thankful heart. Or it could be this way, that probably about 90% of the time, we may fall in the category of those other 9 that failed to give a thankful heart. There are some of you here that weren't here when this happened. Maybe many of you. We had a sister here in the congregation years ago that had a problem, and it was a serious problem. She was actually in the mental hospital for a season. And the church met together. We met together right up here in the front. Maybe the building was turned the other way at the time. It's about 20 years ago. And we met together and we prayed that God would intervene and bless her husband and bless the doctors and bless her. And if it would be pleasing in His sight, that God might bless with healing. It was Sister Syl Davis. That God might bless with a measure of healing. The next week, on Monday, Brother Roy called and he said, she's better. She's not a little bit better, she's a lot better. By Wednesday, he said, she's so much better that they're talking about discharging her from the hospital. And rather than discharging her to a permanent long-term facility, which is what they had told him to find, they said, we think she can be discharged to go back home. By the end of the week, she was at home. And by the next week, she was back in church. And those that remember that and those that witness it know that it only could come from the hand of a merciful, almighty God. Old Brother Frank Rogers pulled his oxygen tank around with him all the time. That didn't slow him down too much. He married his third wife, Elsie, at 82 years of age. Brother Frank said, Brother Stephen, don't you think we need to have another prayer meeting and just thank the Lord for entering in and intervening in the life of our dear sister in the church? That could have easily gone unnoticed. We could have easily passed by it. Or, have you ever experienced this? That maybe you or someone you know was diagnosed with a very serious, potentially serious illness. And you met together and prayed, or others that were around you met together and prayed. And all of a sudden the doctor comes out and announces that there's been some healing that's taken place. How many times do we try to justify it by simply saying, well, the doctors misdiagnosed us in the beginning? When in essence, it may very well be that God intervened in the life, in our lives, and blessed us with a measure of deliverance and a measure of healing. Brother Jack Polk. These are not Old Testament characters. These are Mount Carmel folks. Brother Jack Polk was scheduled for surgery over here at Havre de Grace Hospital. And they had him on the table, pushing him into the operating room. And when he got into the operating room, before the surgeon came in to begin the operation, he had performed one more test. And he came in and he announced to Brother Polk, he says, the surgery's off. He says, you don't need it anymore. The problem that you have is not there anymore. Brother Polk knew, wasn't the surgeon. He didn't want to discount the hospital or the drugs or anything like that. But he began to tell him about his Lord and how thankful that he was. And he gave all the credit to the Lord. Brother Maurice Cook. He's supposed to have been gone a long time ago. He wasn't supposed to have the strength or ability to be able to, of all things, come to church, see his daughter baptized and others like that. Yet God gave him an unbelievable amount of strength in the midst of his terminal cancer. To the point that one day he came and he said, I really think they may have just misdiagnosed me. He said, I feel so good. I'm doing so well that maybe they misdiagnosed me. But it was the Lord that gave him the strength to be able to continue on. How often do we fall into that category of the 90%? That we, like the world, would just reason it out? Or do we... You can't go wrong saying it was the Lord. You can never go wrong giving the Lord the credit. The Lord is in it for your good and for His glory. And when the Lord intervenes in your life and when a miracle is performed in your life, give the Lord the glory. Go to Him with a thankful heart. You say you got a lot of problems right now? Maybe the biggest problem is that we don't have a thankful heart. That we don't have a thankful heart for what God has already blessed us with. Should He bless us with more if we don't have a thankful heart for what He's already blessed us with? Every one of us here has so much to be thankful for. Satan doesn't want you to be thankful. He doesn't. I miss your mom, Sister Perry, being here. When she's not able to be here. Because she's always got a thankful heart. Did you know that when you have a thankful heart, did you know it rubs off on other folks? Other folks are not going to be as likely to complain around you if you're thankful. If you're thankful for your health, if you're thankful for your job, if you're thankful for the provisions that God has blessed you with. My goodness, if you have children, are you thankful for the children that God's blessed you with? Be thankful for them. You say, well, they're not perfect. Well, you're not either. None of us are. God doesn't give families perfect children. He doesn't give families perfect parents. But that's the beauty of it. That He gets the glory. Let's look at some examples right here. In Psalms chapter 26. We may not get to all these, but you can write them down if you want to. And Psalm chapter 26. The psalmist says, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thine house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. You know, one of the things you can be thankful for, you can be thankful for who He is. You can be thankful that you worship a God that is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, and that He has all power. You can be thankful for, as the psalmist says, you can be thankful for His wondrous works. Not too many of our wonderful works that we're thankful for, but we can always be thankful for God's wondrous works. If you say, I don't see Him, I don't recognize Him, my goodness, just walk outside and look around at the wondrous works of Almighty God. Brother Compton, as he began to near the end of his journey at 102 years of age, he said he could even see the power of God in every blade of grass. That God gives life and God sustains life. That God manifests His power in His creation all around us. You shouldn't be in a hopeless state. You shouldn't be in a helpless state because of the God that you worship. You worship an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He's got all power, and there's not anything that's too hard for the Lord. So you may think your trial, your problem, your difficulty, your discouragement, your setback, that it's too hard for the Lord, but He delights to do hard things. He does. And hard things that look hard to us are mighty easy to Him. Just awful easy for the powerful God that we have. But we begin to think little. I mean, I'm that way. When Calvin and Elsa called me, I began to think of all the things that were wrong. I mean, maybe you're not that way. Isaiah. In Isaiah, it's addressed again in Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 51, he begins to talk about how that in the church we ought to be thankful. In Isaiah chapter 51, verse 3, he says, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion, He will comfort all of her waste places." That's a message in itself. "He will make," and Zion is symbolic of the church. "He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like a garden of the Lord." And then he gives a description here of how it ought to be in the church. Brother Luis Bernal, who is a member of the Columbia Church that's visited here one time, he's been exercising and opening services. And he said something in the most recent conversation about the message that he had brought forth. He said, I was trying to speak on the joy that we have in the Lord and having a joyful heart. And he said, but the starting place for having a joyful heart is having a heart of thanksgiving. If you're going to have a joyful heart in the Lord, you got to have a thankful heart in the Lord. And here he says that God blesses His... You may say, well, I'm not thankful. Well, if you're not, first of all, pray to God that He'll give you a thankful heart. And then pray to God that He'll begin to show you all the things in your life that you have to be thankful for. Start with your own health. Start with your own mind. I can introduce you to folks that they don't have their mind, or they don't have the body, the strength in their body. Start with your family. Start with the nation in which you live, the country in which you live. Start with the freedoms that you have. Start with the church family that you have, folks that love you, folks that care for you. Why, my pastor who's now with the Lord, in fact, I had two or three pastors, and they're all with the Lord right now. I'm the only one that's left. I kind of feel like Elijah sometimes, but they're all with the Lord. But he said, if you're down and you're discouraged and you're down in the dumps, he says, you start counting your blessings, like the song says, and you name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. You're not going to go around despondent and despair, counting the blessings of the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but this helps me. Take a notepad, just an old legal pad, and start writing them down. The blessings of the Lord. And sometimes when you write them down and you look at those blessings that you've got and they stare you in the face, I don't think Satan likes us to write them down. I don't think he does. Because I have a short memory and it's in and out. But if you write them down, you can go over it and over it and over it again. Now get you a thick pad. Because you're going to need that. You are. And you start writing down the blessings of the Lord. I felt for Nick on Monday when we had the funeral service for his granddad, Brother Herb, because Nick lost his best friend in Brother Herb. I was so blessed. I knew and had a special relationship with all four of my grandparents. And even two of my great-grandparents was really, really special. But I realized that when I lost my last grandparent, who had a tremendous impact upon my life, that my life from that point on was going to be different. You can handle it the way that Lord impresses you. But after I lost my last grandparent, I took a notepad and I divided it into four columns, one for each grandparent that I had. And I wrote down the blessings that I had learned from each one of my grandparents that God had blessed me with. And I did it while the sun was setting. And I could thank the Lord for the life of each grandparent. And when I got through and I went back and I read all of those blessings that I'd received from all of my grandparents all through the 40 some odd years, I realized that's who I am. They passed those things down, and it made an impact upon my life because of the blessing that I had with their influence upon me. You never go wrong counting the many blessings that God has given you. Isaiah 51 says, in Isaiah 51 he says, for the Lord shall comfort Zion, he shall comfort the waste places. He says, with joy and gladness shall be found therein, in the church. I realize that in the church there's difficulties, there's hardships that we have. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it ought to be a happy place. It ought to be a joyful place. My goodness. We've got something to rejoice in. We've got something to have joy about. It ought to be a happy place. It says that joy and gladness shall be found therein, and thanksgiving. Here it describes what it ought to be in the Lord's house. There ought to be some joy. There ought to be some gladness. There ought to be some thanksgiving. And then he throws in there, and Brother Van will really appreciate this, and the voice of melody.
Amen.
In the Church of Jesus Christ, yes, we sing songs about our experience. We sing songs about the trials, and we sing songs about the hardships that people have. But you know what? It's our right to sing songs about the joy and the gladness and the thanksgiving that we have in the Lord. And we ought to experience that in the Lord. These little children, I love to see these little children come to church, because when they walk through that door, they bust through that door, you can tell they're excited to be here. And you know what? Every one of us ought to be the same way. We should. We ought to be busting down those doors because we're excited to be here. We shouldn't say, well, I'm just going to barely try to get enough church to get me by. We ought to go because, number one, that's where the Lord has promised to be. When we ought to start making plans for next Sunday? As soon as we walk out these doors today. In fact, we ought to put it on our calendar. We ought to make plans for next Sunday right now. Not even wait till Saturday night when there's a fantastic movie that's going to be on that's going to keep you up till 1 o'clock in the morning. Go ahead and make plans right now. You can record that movie if you want to, if it's worth seeing. But make plans right now to be at the house of the Lord next Sunday in the Lord's house. He says that it's a happy place. Thanksgiving and even the voice of melody. One more Old Testament example in Psalms verse 95. Excellent, excellent psalm. He's talking about being thankful in the Lord's house. Being thankful in the Lord's house. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. I tell you, the singing was great this morning. If we had to go home right after the song service, my soul had been fed. I was made to rejoice in the song service. It blessed my soul. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence. Here, are you ever concerned about how you come before the presence of God? You say, I'm not worthy to come before the presence of God. I'm not deserving to come before the presence of God. I feel too humble. I feel too low. Here He tells you how you come before the presence of God. Everybody here has something to be thankful for, thankful about. He says, let us come before the presence of God with thanksgiving. Anybody here that can say, I don't have anything to be thankful for? If you're here and you have something to be thankful for, that's your prerequisite before coming before the presence of Almighty God. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. And He says, unless Satan gets you to thinking about yourself, He says, for the Lord, He is a great God. He is a great King. He is above all gods. He says, in His hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills are in His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. I'm just awed every time I see that awesome body of water. It reminds me of the awesome power of Almighty God. The seas are His. He created it. He holds it in its bounds. It's not just there. It's not likely to fall out of bounds because the Lord is holding it within His bounds. He says, even the seas are His. The dry land is His. He says, oh, come, let us worship Him. Let us bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God. We are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. He says, He's a great God. And He has all power in His hand. Let's go to a couple of New Testament examples and we'll conclude. If you, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. He says we should be thankful in the house of the Lord. We should be thankful in Zion. Then he says when we pray that we should be thankful when we come before Him in prayer. He says in Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. What's he saying right here? What is being careful? That's worry. Anybody here worry? Some of us are worry warts. Anybody here, if you don't have something to worry, you kind of look for something to worry. And you're worried if you can't find something to worry about. Well, here he says, in your midst of worrying, in your midst of being careful and being concerned, he says, you come before the Lord, he says, in every prayer and in every supplication, he says, with thanksgiving. What's he saying? He says, start out your prayer. And you know what? It's not informing the Lord, but it's probably changing our heart. Start out your prayer with not say, Lord, help me here. Lord, give me that. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. Sometimes I feel like that we think he's a puppet and we try to manipulate him around. When in essence, he says, start out your prayers and your supplications with thanksgiving. Do you know what? If we start out our prayer with thanksgiving, we may even forget what we were going to go pray to the Lord about.
Amen.
If we start talking about the things that we're thankful for. He says, let your prayer and supplication be known with thanksgiving. And he says, and the peace of God. Maybe you've seen others that have that. Maybe you want to have that. But he says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. The peace of God which passeth all understanding. I think what that means is that when you see somebody that based on their experience in the world, based on their hardships, based on their difficulties, that they've got a peace about them, and the world can't explain it. And based on the world and the things around, they shouldn't have peace. But they do. That's a peace that passes understanding. Sometimes we have a peace when we're in the midst of trials and difficulties that even passes our own understanding. But he says, you start out with a thankful heart. It says, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You can go through and read Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Excellent passages that tell us to start even our prayers with thanksgiving. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 9, there's so much in this book that I don't understand. The few parts that I do understand is that this was a vision that was given to John about things that were going to come to pass. And I understand that Jesus Christ starts out and ends up that he's victorious. And I understand that he has a Lamb's Book of Life, that he wrote the names of his people in from before the foundation of the world, and they're secure. And I understand that he begins to give us little glimpses of heaven and glimpses of glory of what's to come and what it's going to be like. And he uses words and expressions and examples of some of the greatest things that we can imagine here upon this earth of what it's going to be like. And then he also tells us in the latter part of Revelation, he begins to tell us what it's not going to be like. He says, you're not going to have sorrow. You're not going to have pain. You're not going to have crying. You're not going to have death. Well, now, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good to me.
Amen.
Wherever that is, I want to go and I want to experience it. So he tells us what heaven is not going to be like. But he also gives us some insight about what we're going to be doing there. I don't think we're going to be cleaning house. I don't think we're going to be plowing a field. I don't think it's going to be like what we experience here. It's going to be wonderful. But one thing that he tells us that we're going to be doing, and we're going to start out doing it, and we're going to continue doing it, and we're going to do it on and on and on and on in eternity. And he lets us practice it here. He lets us begin here. Is giving thanks and honor and glory to the Lamb. Our main occupation in heaven is going to be to honor the Lord. I think there's going to be some singing there. I'm looking forward to that. He tells us a little bit about what songs we're going to sing. The content of the song. It says, and when those beasts give glory and honor, and verse 9 of chapter 4, and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And the 24 elders fall down before him that sat upon the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power. And Thou hast created all things. And for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You want to know why that you've been created? For the pleasure of the Lord. Amen. Not necessarily for our pleasure. He gives us pleasure. But that's not ultimately why we've been created. It was for His pleasure. And in heaven, there's a good indication that we're going to spend the majority of our time praising Him and giving Him thanks. And what a blessing that we have the privilege of starting it here and practicing it here on this earth. Yes, I'm thankful that those pilgrims, not too far north of here and a little bit south, begin to exercise the Thanksgiving Day. But really and truly, we not only should set aside that day to be thankful. If you've got a family and you're going to be with your family, thank the Lord for that, because that's a blessing. But we shouldn't just set aside one day out of the year to be thankful. We ought to start our day, we ought to start our prayer, we ought to start our worship with a thankful heart. You'll be surprised how much that'll take care of. You'll be surprised how much your thinking would change if God blesses you with a thankful heart. May God bless you.